is The Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
I think the only way to start today is 24/7 is...
Ooh, yeah!
Not bad, though.
Not bad at all.
Thank you.
Not bad.
Randy Macho Man Savage. So, we are going to talk to a guy, John Finkel. Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage. It's only available on Audible, which is the book on tape thing that I listened to.
Wait,
sensational,
what?
Definitive biography of WrestleMania headlining, Spider-Man fighting, Slim Jim snapping, minor league baseball playing, American original, Randy Savage.
It's not, you can't get the book?
It's showing me only from Audible, so I mean, I'm guessing it's a book. But it's also
on tape.
But if you go down, it only from Audible. It looks like.
So we shall see. But he was such a fascinating character that I only became fascinated with actually after he passed away. I watched him. Certainly, that was my era of watching wrestling, and Randy Savage was awesome to watch. Controversial, I think, for some things, but we are we're waiting. We're going to be hooking up with John here, and you can ask him about that. But what a career!
Absolutely,
you know.
If you do go, like, if you go to Barnes and Noble and stuff, you can purchase the actual paperback book.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to listen to,
how many times was he a champion? Forgive me for not knowing, but I mean, I know
that's
he was
a good question.
He was everybody in that time was in the Hulk Hogan era, right?
Yep.
So Hulk was like the Tiger Woods, right?
Yep.
And I wonder if that... I wonder what the relationship was there.
Well,
I saw Hulk say good things about him. I would hope.
I think they had their ups and their downs.
Yeah, okay.
And remember, he was with Miss Elizabeth for the longest time. And then also we had Gorgeous Georgian, who was with the guy from the Misfits,
mm-hmm.
And she didn't speak too highly of him.
Yeah, that was a weird thing, right? Him and the Miss Elizabeth thing. That was a weird thing. So John Finkel is going to be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. And he wrote the book. But his voice in the beginning used to drive me nuts.
Oh, absolutely. All those guys. You wonder, my mom always said that Rowdy Piper, he's going to die during one of his promos because he just never took a breath. And when he did, it was...
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing of, Randy Savage. One of my favorite memes is him sitting with a bandana on some rocks.
Looking at the ocean.
Just being savage. Just sitting there looking at the ocean, being savage. Macho Man. Did you see it at all at that point in your life,
Kelly?
I knew
who he was. I knew how he talked.
Did you snap into a Slim Jim?
I don't know what that
means. Where I knew him from. That and that Jeff was him for Halloween one year.
You didn't know slapping?
I take it. Did you snap into a Slim Jim?
Yeah, I think it sounded a little bit like
a little
that.
Different.
Yeah, you didn't slap into it. You snapped into it.
Snap into a Slim Jim.
Thank you. That's
now, Kelly Brown,
that's
he was signed to the St. Louis Cardinals.
I saw that
as
he
a catcher.
Had a little minor league career there.
Yeah.
In baseball.
289 mm-hmm. games over his four minor league seasons.
Look, I mean, you got to be in shape. There's no question. I mean, wrestling is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's killed so many people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying in the ring, but as a result of the lifestyle that they lead, it's kind of crazy. All right, so we're hooking up here with John. And John, I think I have you. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
There you go. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. So we were just talking about, like, I grew up in the era of Randy Savage.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, Hulk was always the main guy. And I thought I had heard Hulk say, you know, something about he and Randy having a good relationship. Is that accurate? Because Randy had passed away when he said it. Did they get along well? Was there rivalry there, John?
That question completely depends on which time, which decade, and which time of the decade you're talking about. They were alternating between best friends and enemies, largely from Randy's side, back and forth from pretty much when they first started working together in the mid '80s till the very end of Randy's life. They would work. You know, they'd go through phases where they would lift together and have barbecues together, and their families would be together. And then they would go 3 years without talking.
Wow.
And then they would reconnect. and everything would be great, and then it would happen again. And so it was an on-again, off-again friendship.
This is John Finkel, the author of Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage. It's on Audible, the audiobooks program that I use. It's also available in print as well. Scotty has a question.
Now, I know he was with Miss Elizabeth for the longest time, and then once they split up, they still had to work together, didn't they? Or were they divorced and no longer working with each other?
Yeah, so they, I mean, the timeline of this is really crazy when you think about it from just an adult perspective. I was a kid watching all this stuff. Yep. So, you know, I, in my mind, I thought for real they got married at SummerSlam. Like, oh my God. And, you know, I was like 10. Yeah, like they actually, it actually really happened. And then, right. Oh my God. So, yeah, I was all in, right? So, as an adult who's married with kids and I'm researching and reading this, the reality was they got married in the late 70s in Kentucky.
Yeah,
they were already married when he got the call up by Vince to WWE and they wanted him to have a valet. He said Miss Elizabeth should already come with him. And then the other side of that reality is about 4 to 8 months before the actual SummerSlam marriage, they were already on the outs, had a huge breakup. They weren't seeing each other. So imagine as an adult, we're grown men, right? Yeah. Like your whole entire, your marriage is falling apart. Your life is falling apart. And as this is happening, you then have to go pretend to get married and be in love and say I do on national television.
That's crazy. You know, we've worked with the WWE for a very long time. You know, when they come to town, we have friends in the WWE and we've seen people come and people go. And it is, and for as much as people want to do it and they can get wildly famous doing it, it's a terrible lifestyle. I mean, it's so hard. And I don't know, it's rare when someone comes out of it unscathed. And Randy had his issues, yeah?
Yeah, you know, there's the mental aspect of just the grind. There's the physical aspect of the injuries that take their toll. And then there's the lifestyle aspect of the travel. I mean, you're just not around. You're traveling 300 days a year. You know, this is, we're talking about when the, you know, with the WWE, when he finally made it up there, the travel schedule and the nightly shows and the, you know, the show on Monday, the show on Tuesday, the travel day Wednesday, the show on Thursday, the promotion on Friday, the big night Saturday night. You know, it was an endless run of travel.
Yeah.
And there's no come down. I mean, there's no off season. You know, they just had SummerSlam, right? You know, they had a Friday show on SmackDown and then they have SummerSlam, you yeah. know, on the Saturday night. And then there's Monday Night Raw. It was like that before, even before those two shows.
I hope that I'm not wrong when I say this because I don't want to cast any, you know, dispersions where there shouldn't be. But do I remember correctly that there was a struggle with drugs?
It wasn't really a struggle at all. No, he admitted to using steroids way back when basically mm-hmm. everybody was. So mm-hmm. Randy's issue was, you know, he was a baseball player. And he, when his baseball career ended, he was, you know, 6 foot, 6'1", listed somewhere around there, depending, but never over 180, 185.
Okay.
And he's entering a world where the smaller guys, even his brother's 6'2", 240, you know, Ted DiBiase's 6'2", 240, Jake the Snake's that size. And you've got Hulk who's 6'7", 280, and Andre the Giant and Big John Studd and all these guys. And so, you know, he wanted to get big quick. So he admitted to using steroids to help, you know, gain 40 or 50 pounds of muscle onto his body there. And then he says he stopped when they became illegal. He started seeing some ill effects on him and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Did you like when you're researching this, right? Because obviously you've done other books, Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage. What was there something that made you go, wow, I didn't know that?
Yeah. The craziest story that I came across in this whole thing is a night with Randy after a show. This is in the mid 70s when long before you or I had heard of him. He was just a territory guy. Got into a massive fight at a Waffle House yep. after a show where it ended up taking 3 cops, 2 billy clubs, and an actual German Shepherd canine to subdue the Macho Man. He got a huge bite on his butt and needed stitches. He was tased. It was this crazy thing. And to me, the most hilarious part is it was all at a Waffle House and it all started because he was hyped up at like 2 a.m. and they were not fast enough in taking his order because he was hungry.
Hey, guy wants his pancakes, his waffles, whatever it is at the Waffle House.
Do you feel the WCW when he went over there, they used him right?
You know, I would say they used him as best as they could. Yeah, yep. It's easy to, you know, for those of the people who, a lot of people just kind of lost track of him after WWE. Then yeah. there was the fans of Nitro and all that who got in touch with him. And he wasn't really in, you know, the Wolfpack and all that kind of stuff in the NWO. But the answer to the question is, I think they used him as best he could because he really was beat up physically. He had taken 2 years off, his knees, his hips. He'd spent a decade before the WWF jumping off, you know, high flying, you know, ropes into the worst possible, you know, conditions and ropes and rings that he had. So he even admits, you know, a lot of the research that I found, and it was even from Lynn, he was slower, couldn't really run as fast, couldn't jump as high. Mm-hmm. So athletically, he was already 40. So I think they used him as well as you possibly could without it looking kind of silly with, you know, his physical, you know, capability.
Talking to us with John Finkel, the author of Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage. I'm about to yield to a question that's being asked by a guy, just so you know, John, that apparently has never snapped into a friggin' Slim Jim. And I don't like it.
I don't even, we even listen to people like that?
See, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. He never heard it.
Rings
this is
a bell.
Kelly Brown, actually. Go ahead, Kelly.
John, I know his dad was a big-time wrestler for his day. Was he close with his dad and his brother, who was also a wrestler?
They were as close as you could be. That was one of the coolest parts about writing this book, was it's really a father-son and book, you know, book about brotherhood. They, Lanny and Randy both worship their dad. They're, you know, they grew up in Downers Grove, a regular, you know, middle-class town outside of Chicago. And, it, you know, they, I talked to all their neighbors and, like, you know, the guys on the street were car salesmen, or, you know, they worked mechanics and accounting or whatever. And their dad was a professional wrestler who all their friends watched and rooted against. He was a heel on Sunday mornings. And they looked up to him about as much as you could. They went to all his shows. And that they had a ring in their basement of their house, a small ring. They had the weights in the house. They were like the meathead gathering spot for the whole neighborhood. They had a batting cage on the side of the house so Randy could practice baseball, which his dad built for him. So to answer, you know, very, very close. They were close all throughout their lives. Randy, you know, often talked about how he wouldn't be where he was with his dad without his dad. His mom, too. They were very close with their mother as well. So very tight family.
So, you know, I guess I always wonder if the time when I grew up, when we grew up loosely, I'm older, but, you know, it seemed to be with the Hulk Hogan days, it was the heyday when WWE was like just crushing everything. But yet today they say they're getting bigger crowds and they're making more money than ever. I don't know. Was what you grew up in, do you think of it as the heyday? Do you think they'll ever see those kind of heights of popularity where everybody's talking about it again? I don't know if they will.
I don't know. I mean, obviously The Rock, you could argue, definitely has crossed over on the same level as Hogan, probably even more so.
Yeah.
Cena also was a bigger draw than Hulk ever was. I think it's hard to compare just because of the options we have now.
Yeah.
You know, a WrestleMania or a main event on a Saturday night back in the era you're talking about, there wasn't too much competition.
Yeah.
So I don't know if overall collectively we'd ever have those numbers again, but you know, I went to the WrestleMania this year to promote this book in April. I just watched SummerSlam. I mean, they didn't sell out. They sold out like the Pontiac Silverdome and all that stuff, you know, for WrestleMania 3, and they were able to do that. But week in, week out, you know, they're selling out major, all the basketball arenas. They're going across, you know, internationally. I don't think it's even close. You know, they did Wembley Stadium and all those things in the 80s, but now they're in Dubai. They have an entire European pay-per-view tour. I think overall, it's a bigger footprint.
Yeah.
The rosters are deep. You've got Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns just came back, and you've got you know, LA Knight and Randy Orton. So I don't know if it'll ever be that point where, like, it's just so concentrated in maybe five guys. Mm-hmm. But I think collectively now it'd be hard to argue that it's not much, much bigger, even though it's still compared to the NFL or something like that, niche, right?
Right.
It's kind of crazy.
You. Hey, John, thanks for the time, man. We really appreciate it. The book is called Macho Man, The Untamed, Unbelievable Life of Randy Savage. Great having you on. Thanks very much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate
you. Thank you, man. He's always been an interesting guy. And
he was never
car wreck,
really
one car wreck?
Of my- well, he was driving and died behind the wheel.
Yeah, that's
and
what then, I meant. Like car wreck.
Heart attack.
Heart attack.
Oh, heart attack, right.
And then
right.
There
oh, yeah.
was the, but they said what killed him was the heart attack immediately, and he crashed into the tree, and his wife was with him.
Yeah, I saw a document. I think it was one of those specials that you watched.
About the Dark Side of the Ring.
Dark Side of the
because
Ring.
Because he did have, and we're talking about, you know, getting the fight at the Waffle House.
Yeah.
That was on the episode and stuff. And I heard that, you know, him and Hogan would go back and forth. But I think a lot of times he was jealous.
Yeah.
And definitely with Miss Elizabeth, she was catching the eye of a lot of other wrestlers who were young and upcoming and in better shape. Randy, there was a lot of pressure.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust anybody in that business. I wouldn't trust anybody.
No.
Are you kidding me? Those guys, forget about it.
No.
You know? At that time, all jacked up, forget about it. Forget about it. There's no Steve Austin.
No.
Huh, Laura?
He was awesome.
Yeah. I had, who did I have? I mean, I guess it was Bruno, right? Back earlier than that, Chief J. Strongbow and Bruno in the old days. Chief J. Strongbow, who owned an Italian sub shop down in Massachusetts. He's an Italian guy. Chief J.
I do love Mankind.
Yep. Yeah. He's a good, of all the wrestlers that we've had on through the years, and we've had a lot, including Hulk and Triple H, something like that. Mick Foley is so one of the most down to earth. And you know how much we love Triple H, but Mick Foley is just such a down to earth cat. You know,
absolutely.
And Ric Flair, Dave, how's that guy not have a friggin' movie? I mean, a big budget movie about his life.
Well,
how's that even happen?
It's with telling his life when it came to in the ring, that deserves a movie. It's a lot of the stuff that went on outside of the ring that
they don't want. They
don't want. And I mean, and he'll tell you the truth, but it doesn't
do well for the brand.
No,
I get you.
No, it doesn't. Yeah. He's a.
I get you.
He's an old man who now still lives in the old man ways.
Yes, Elizabeth died as well.
Yes,
but way before acute toxicity in the home she shared with wrestler Lex Luger.
Yes, who was humongous and now is in a wheelchair.
What's the toxicity? Alcohol or is it drugs? What was it? Drugs?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's such an ugly underbelly of the, or at least there used to be.
Mix of painkillers and vodka.
I hope it's better, but I don't know. I don't know. All the news about
42.
Vince McMahon and the shit that he did was just
insane. But I mean,
insane.
What, sooner or later, like a lot of people said, it's going to come back and get you. And that's what it did to Vince.
I would imagine. All right, well, there you go. That's the Buzz 24/7 today. We have to jump. Literally, we have to jump. I'm going to get a crisscross record. We're going to play it. We're going to just dance and jump.
Amazing, you know that.
Enjoy the rest of the day, everybody.
Amazing.
We will see you tomorrow.